Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, Gare Bear here, coming from the hallowed halls of Dana-Farber, the place where miracles happen. Got a new lib? Yes, the Jimmy Fund. So don't forget my friends at Dana-Farber. While this is my last chemo, woo-hoo, I know I won't. Got to thank Dr. Eric Jacobson. He's a great guy. He's a great doctor. Even a better fisherman. Just ask him. He's got some great fish stories if you ever run into him. I'd like to thank Barbara, Caitlin, all the nurses. And my mother was a nurse. So even Dr. Jacobson and all the docs know, a hospital is only good as its nurses. And let me tell you, the nurses at Dana-Farber, Hall of Famers. I can't thank them enough. Don't forget Dana-Farber, people. Gare Bear out. My last chemo.
That's our buddy Gary Tengwey, NBC Sports Boston. And that was the announcement he made. Last chemo. He was out of chemo, and I think he had started screaming F cancer on the way out. Something like that out of Dana-Farber. And he joins us live right now on the phone line. You out on assignment? Is that what you're doing here today?
Yeah, the assignment's vacation.
Nice. Good. This must be a good vacation for you after everything you've been through, huh?
Well, yeah, it's been quite a year. So I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but when you go through something like that, your priorities, you know, they shift a little bit.
So can you give us the story for people that missed it? So when did you first find out, your reaction, and what happened from that point?
Well, I was at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and that's when the symptoms first started to show up. And the thing that's so dangerous about this disease in general is the symptoms are, they're not what you think they are. You know, I mean, when you watch, Grey's Anatomy and all these shows about, like, how you find out you have cancer, I mean, that's just not the way it goes. I thought I had food poisoning, and my stomach was bothering me, and I woke up with the night sweats, and I thought, quite frankly, I got some bad chicken. And then it came back again when I got home, and I was working out, and I was feeling a little tired, and then I was going to see my regular doctor, because I thought I had an ulcer or something like that, and I certainly didn't think I had cancer. And that Saturday, it was a Saturday night at 10 o'clock, I was at my house, I passed out of my bathroom. And, I was the talk of Sudbury. The ambulance came and the fire trucks and all that. And, they wheeled me over to the hospital. And an hour later, after an MRI and tests, and the doctor just sat down and he said, you have lymphoma. And I was like, what? What do you? You can't even explain it. You know, when somebody tells it to you, you're like, it's worse for the spouse. You know, that's the thing. And the partners, your spouse, significant other, they get the brunt of it, because when you're in it, you're just like, okay, what's the, you're task oriented. Like, I just heard Kevin talk about how his wife had to, keep track of everything. And, for me, it was just like, you don't have time to think of the worst. I mean, you don't let yourself think of the worst. And the crazy thing about it is, the reason I said I was so lucky is non-Hodgkin's is, they will actually tell you, you got the good one. Which is nuts, but it's true that Dana-Farber in research, they have done so much when it comes to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I mean, after three chemos, I was clear. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Gary, that's one of the things we hear a lot about, the attitude. Because, I mean, just, seeing, working with you still on TV, the attitude that you have, it was like you're still working. Like I was talking about before earlier, that you'd go in and get your chemo, whatever it was, and you say, all right, I'll see you in a couple of days. I just need a couple of days off my feet, but other than that, I'll be right back. I mean, you were, the minute you could get back into it, it's like it was important for you to not have that much of a life change. You needed to get in there and do something, it seemed like.
Well, it's true, and that's the advice that I have for anybody, is that even on those days when you're tired, is get up and make your bed, and maybe you'll just walk to your mailbox. I'll just walk to the mailbox. One day I just, I raked my lawn for 10 minutes. then I was, then I like slept for 6 hours. I was just like stupid. You know, but just do something. Walk downstairs. Put on jeans. Don't wear sweats. Wear sneakers. You know, act like you're going out, like you're doing something that day. Even if you're just going downstairs, you know, to listen to OMF for the afternoon. You know what I mean? You just, you have to have a mission. You can only stream so much Netflix, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's like Eric Jacobson. Yeah, he's a great guy. And I mean, you guys know me. I mean, we all have a pretty good sense of humor. And let me tell you, the sense of humor came in really handy where, you know, Eric said to me, you know, I said, you see that commercial with a doctor comes in and he says, hey, just got lifted. My suspension just got lifted, you know, and all that. And he says, yeah, I love that commercial. I go, I do too. I go, we're going to get along great. So humor is very important. You know, but to be honest with you, you know, when the doctors over there, like Barbara, they sit there and they say, you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, because all of the research, because all of the money that's been donated, all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into my cure, they were like, dude, you're good. I mean, so, like, I feel, you know, for people, you know, and if they got there with non-Hodgkin's, they'll get there with pancreas, they'll get there with colon, they'll get there with the others. You know, Karen DeRegan, a friend of ours, I mean, she had a Hodgkin's lymphoma, remember back in, like, 91, she did that article with Lemieux, and I talked to her a couple of times, and she had to go to Nebraska for a transplant, a stem cell transplant, and like Dr. Jacobson was telling me, now you have, like, five places in the city you can go get those. So, you know, they've done it. They've done it for this cancer. They'll do it for others.
So, you know, Gary, you're talking about your significant other, your wife, and what about your kids? What's that conversation like when you have to explain to your kids what's going on?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's the worst. And what you do is the way you handle it is how they're going to react. You know, my daughter, Harper, taking the SATs, going to the prom, looking at colleges. I mean, like, this is the last thing the poor kid needs. You know, my 8-year-old kind of understood, you know, acting out in different ways. You know, we alerted the people at school. The people at our school were fantastic. My son was cut to the chase. He goes, you know, he was basically like, what are the facts? He was like, I don't want any bullcrap. He goes, what is going on? And I spelled it out to him. You know, and so I had to be honest with him. I can't. And I said, you know, it's good. And you know, so being my son, he grabbed an app, a bald app, and he took my picture. And he showed me what I was going to look like bald, and we passed it around the kitchen table, and we all laughed. And I got to tell you, I said, this is not going to look good. This is going to be a bad thing.
Listen, Gary, I think you should stick with it, Gary. It's a good look.
And you probably have like 2,000 hats now, don't you? Because you've been collecting hats. Everybody's been sending you hats.
Yeah, that's what Dave Pressnack, who's the head of NBC Sports Regionals, are like, hey, you might want to keep that look. And I'm like, hey, man, if you'll keep me on the air for 5 more years, you know, I can go with the baseball listening if you want.
Well, Lou was talking about it. It was amazing you were working. And I'm wondering, as a public figure, you were out there. You made the best of it. I mean, you had people sending you caps and things like that.
Oh,
you were giving awareness of it out there. Did that ever bother you? Or once you started doing it, I've got to believe that probably helped the process, didn't it?
Well, for me, Glenn, is I wanted to make one announcement, and I had been diagnosed for 3 to 4 weeks. I can't remember how long, and I had gone through one treatment already before I told anybody. I'm not a big, you know, everybody handles this differently, and I wanted to remain very private. I did not want anybody. And other people handle it differently. Other people are like other people in the market and in the media have done wonderful things with it, saying, this is what I'm going through, and they raise money. And, you know, I just have to figure out how to do it a different way. That's not really what I felt comfortable in doing. And, you know, like one person joked to me at work, and it was kind of like, well, this is great for your Q rating. And we laughed, and I was like, yeah, but that's kind of not what this is about. And once the hair fell out, and Dr. Hickinson said, your hair is going to go, and you guys know me. I mean, my hair, if I didn't have my hair and my voice, you know, I'd be screwed because I have no
this
talent.
This is true.
So, I mean, you know.
I got to tell you, Gary, I thought it was a wig all the time. I didn't think anybody could have that good hair. I thought you were faking the whole thing out.
I mean, we were looking at colleges with my daughter, and I said, I'm not shaving it. I'm hanging on to this. Put the mane for as long as I can. We're driving in upstate New York, and my hair is, like, in my mouth. I mean, I was like a Labrador shedding. It's all over the bed. I mean, you got to laugh. I mean, we laugh. I will tell you, my family, fortunately, we had to laugh so much through this. that if you can, it just helps. You know, you watch comedies, you know, you just got to laugh at this stuff.
So you good? Right. You good now? Everything's good.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, Eric came in, Dr. Chickens came in, and he goes, yeah, you're in full remission. I said, after three chemos? I said, is that unusual? And he goes, I know you want you to, he said, I know you want to think it's you, but this happens all the time.
But I'm different, Doc.
That's me. It's Gary Tangway.
I'm Gary Tangway. But then, and so, you know, and I just talked to a friend of mine who has had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for 15 months. No radiation, no chemo, medication only. That's crazy.
Yeah.
To think about this, you have cancer, and you could take a pill, and be and it's crazy. I mean,
well, so, that's why we're here.
Yeah,
to raise that money.
Well, it's true. So if I could tell anybody anything, is I'm an example of progress. That's what I am. I mean,
you've never been able to say that before in your life.
I have not. I mean,
we're really happy that everything worked out for you. And so, can we start making fun of you again? Are we good now?
Oh, never stop. I mean, okay, that's good. The good thing is, you know, never stop. That guy that calls me Pantler on Twitter, I expect him to comply.
We're really happy for you, Gary.
Right,
and,
Gary.
Thanks again for sharing it today.
And, all right.
You got it, bud. Thank you very
much. Gary.
That is Gary Tangway from NBC Sports Boston. And his story is out there so everybody can hear it. Ann Bonetti is with us right now. Hello, Ann. Where are you from? Warwick, Rhode Island, it says here.
Warwick, Rhode Island, yes.
Yeah, Warwick, Rhode Island. Dr. Karen Jacobson, a different Dr. Jacobson, right?
Yes, and we are not married.
Lou was getting a little confused in the middle. He wanted
to verify. Karen Jacobson, when I looked down, I was like, I wanted to make sure because I thought maybe if it was the same doctor, you could say hi to the Gare Bear.
But. And so, she's also my hero. Just wanted to add
that. Well, she should be your hero.
She
these doctors
hero.
And these researchers
Absolutely.
And these people that work here are heroes. There's
Absolutely.
No question about it. So what happened to you, Ann? When were you diagnosed?
About 2.5 years ago. What happened? Feeling really tired. You know, the usual.
Sort of like what Gary was just telling us.
Kind of the same. And I went to my primary care doctor, had some tests done, and like I've heard so many people say today, they got that telephone call that they don't want to get from their doctor at 5 o'clock at night saying I needed to go to the hospital. My blood levels were low, my hemoglobin, all my blood work had come back very, very low. So I went to Miriam Hospital in Providence, and one thing led to the other, and I kept thinking I had a virus and everything was going to be fine, and sure enough, 2 days later, I was diagnosed with lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And at the time, they thought it might have been leukemia. So they said, you know, we're kind of happy that it's lymphoma. It's a little bit easier to treat. So I went through 6 months of chemo in Providence at Miriam Hospital. That July, I was told that I was cancer-free. About 6 or 7 months later, we were planning a family vacation. It was April, and I got a phone call from my oncologist in Providence asking me if there was anyone with me, if I was alone. She had some news for me. So I knew right then what the news was, that the cancer had come back. So my husband and I made an appointment. We went to see her, and she said, there's nothing we can do for you here. There's nothing that Miriam Hospital can do. You need to go to Dana-Farber. She said, you need a stem cell transplant, and you need it soon, she said. She said, go on your vacation. We'll deal with this when
sure.
we get back.
Just, relax,
don't
have
even
fun.
Worry about it.
So it was a family vacation. So in some ways it was okay. I had my grandkids with me, my own, you know, my kids. And we kind of just said, we're going to make the best of this vacation. We didn't know what was ahead of us when we came back. So I was so fortunate to be put in Dr. Jacobson's care. We went on May 8th for my first visit. Just so happens May 1st, a clinical trial was begun for people with lymphoma that had only had chemo. Dr. Jacobson can speak better to this than I can. But they had said, Dr. Jacobson said, if you're interested in it, we'll put your name in. It's a randomized study. You could be put in and have the stem cell transplant, or you could get CAR-T, the new procedure. So I just kept thinking, whatever is best will happen. And sure enough, I got randomized into the CAR-T. I started my treatment in when did I start my treatment? In
must have been June. Right?
In June was my first chemo. The middle of June, I had the procedure done, June 13th, for the stem cell. I mean, for the CAR T. Went through, you know, couple of days, couple of weeks of some difficult times, but it was amazing. I was discharged from the hospital. A month later, I had my first scan done, and I was totally cancer-free.
So, Dr. Jacobson, can you explain what is CAR T therapy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, we heard from Gary. Gary was cancer-free after 3 months and was cancer-free after 3 and 6 months as well of chemotherapy. But unfortunately, for some people, their lymphoma comes back. And for this type of lymphoma, the standard treatment would be to get another type of chemotherapy for about 2 months. And then if you respond favorably to that, to go forward with a stem cell transplant with their own stem cells. So it's a course of high-dose chemotherapy, and then they use their own stem cells to rescue them from the side effects of this. And if that, either the second line of chemotherapy doesn't work or the transplant doesn't work, CAR T-cell therapy was approved in October 2017 to treat those patients. So those are patients who have already seen 2 or 3 cycles of ineffective chemotherapy. And it's a totally different way to treat cancer. So instead of giving people drugs that make you nauseous and lose your hair and put you at risk for infection, we actually take the patient's own T cells, which are cells of their immune system. We remove them from their body and send them to a lab and transform them with some new DNA to make them better cancer-fighting cells.
super cells.
Yeah, super cells, exactly.
So they fight the cancer, their own
exactly
cells.
That's exactly right.
So it's basically like PEDs for cancer cells.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it takes about 3 weeks to make the cells, and then they come back to us, and then we give people some gentle chemotherapy, which isn't meant to make people sick or make them fight their lymphoma, but it's meant to make them a better host for those T cells to do a better job fighting the cancer when we put them back into the patient's body. And then the patients, so Anne got admitted for her cell infusion. We give the cells in the hospital, and then we monitor them for at least 7 days afterwards, because there are some unique side effects to CAR T cells that we don't see with other cancer therapies. Think of it sort of like a flu on steroids, right? So your immune cells that are activated under normal circumstances with the flu, they're the ones that actually release substances into the blood that cause fever, the body aches, the headaches, the fatigue, and that happens after CAR T cell, but to a much higher degree, and even to such a high degree that sometimes people have to go temporarily to an ICU. Thankfully, Anne didn't need that. Anne was sitting there waiting for these things to happen, because everyone gets nervous when they don't happen, that it means that they're not working.
So this therapy is just a couple years old, right?
Yep. So it was FDA approved for people more advanced than Anne was in October 2017. Because it's so successful, so it's curing probably up to 40 to 50% of people who had no other options at that point. People were trying to move it up earlier into therapy to avoid ineffective chemotherapy for people. So Anne was one of our first patients who went on this study, where if you relapse after that first round of chemotherapy, you are being randomized. Half the patients get CAR T right away, and then half get that the standard of care, which would be the second line of chemotherapy. Now those patients, if they don't do well, they can get commercial standard of care CAR T cell therapy. But Anne, the most amazing thing to me was, we sat in the office a month after her CAR T cells, and her scan showed a complete remission. And I said, today's the day you would have gotten your scan after those 2 rounds of chemotherapy, and you would be looking at going into the transplant. And and 2 weeks later, she was back at work, as opposed to 2 weeks later being admitted to the hospital for a month, and then having 3 months of, needing to live
that,
in isolation.
That put it all in perspective. Yeah.
So this development of this CAR T therapy, this is what we're talking about here as far as raising money, why it's so important, how things have changed. We said last 5 years, now we're talking 2 years, and the success rate, and speaking of how important it is for us here and for people out there to pick up that phone and help.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this none of this could happen without support and without fundraising. Even though there's lots of investment in CAR T cell therapy, there are lots of trials. I mean, if you looked up the number of trials across the globe in CAR T right now, it's tremendous. Even at Dana-Farber, I mean, we're working with patients like Anne. We're collecting her blood. We're collecting collecting tumor samples and things like that so that we can understand better how to make this better so it's 100% effective, not 50% effective for people. So, and so we're optimistic that we're going to get there. And it's because of support from listeners today mm-hmm. and from listeners throughout the year that we're able to do this.
And we need it expanded so more people have the opportunity to do it. You're
absolutely,
not yeah. sitting at some lottery procedure. 877-738-1234 if you call. If you donate money, you can help this and expand some of this therapy that's been done. And it was great meeting you.
Thanks for meeting
you.
It's
good to see everything is going well. Doctor, thank you very much for explaining. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to update that our bill of token.
Remember, you can text, too. You can text K-Cancer to 20222, and you can donate $25.
With my man Picard. Yeah. With my man Picard.
Very easy way to donate
text
here.
K-Cancer to 2022.
Beautiful.
Two. Get that extra two in there, Danny. We're live from Fenway Park. It's the Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, all presented by Arbella Insurance.
Hi, this is Dustin Pedroia. Please help WEEI and NESN strike out cancer. Every dollar goes to cancer research and care at Dana-Farber. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift. Thank you for your support.
The OMF crew back here at Fenway Park, the WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, our Arbella Foundation tote board. $513,796. It's good, but it's not great. So we need some help.
We can do better.
We can do a lot better.
I feel like we have the right crew to help us get there.
We got a whole family just walked in here.
We have a hearty crew.
These are the Noglers.
I like it.
These are the Noglers. They're all here. So we've got Carly. She's 3 years old. Hi, Carly.
Carly,
how are you?
Where's Carly?
Carly's right there. Say hello.
Carly. Raise your hand, Carly.
Say hello.
There she is.
No. You can't. Say hello on the microphone.
Yeah. There you go. You're good.
Hello.
There you go. And then we got Emma.
Emma. Where's Emma?
Hello.
Emma.
Say hello. We got Ellie. And we got little William right over here.
William, with the three older sisters.
He's doing great. Seth and Haley are the parents. And we'll start with Mom. So you noticed that there was a lump on Carly's head?
Yeah.
Is that how this all started?
Exactly how it started.
And what did you find from there?
So it was just, it looked like she bumped her head. And she was little. She was like 21 months old. And we knew she wasn't in an area she could bump her head without us seeing it. So we just thought, okay, maybe it was, she bumped her head a month ago, could have been like calcium something. So we just let it go for a couple of days, and then it got a little bit bigger, and I just had a bad feeling, and so we talked about it. We brought her to the pediatrician, and our pediatrician, Dr. Vu, she was amazing. She didn't just brush it off like a lump. She did all the tests, and she thought she felt her spleen extended out a little. So she sent her for an ultrasound and different blood testing. And when that came back, it showed that what they thought was a bad infection. Mm-hmm. So everything was kind of elevated and dropped where it should have been even. And so we headed into the ER at Children's, and that was it. It was a whirlwind. It was a Wednesday morning we went into the doctors, and Wednesday night she was diagnosed with leukemia in the ER.
So I think most people can't even imagine, because I'm looking at, and I would guess Emma and Ellie then were probably 3 and 4. Well, in that area, while this is going on, I think we all know how hard it is anyways, with just maybe a 3 and a 4-year-old, you know, in the house to deal with this as well. What was it like for you guys? I mean, people can't even imagine getting that kind of diagnosis on your child.
It was crazy. I was pregnant with William, and
it was nuts.
That was about
only
it.
Only way to describe it, huh, Dad? Nuts.
Yeah. And we just, I mean, we were so grateful. We had so many friends and family and our church family around that just rallied around us and took them. But I remember being so torn between, we were living in the hospital right after. I mean, once you get the diagnosis in the ER, you don't leave. You're straight into Children's. You're there for however long you need to be there in induction. And I just remember feeling so torn between taking care of myself and my pregnancy, taking care of them and taking care of her. And there was so much information. I tell parents all the time when they're talking about getting diagnosed, I tell them, don't try to soak it all in. They give you a packet like this thick. They tell you 1,000 different things you have to remember, and you forget it all. So it was crazy.
What was it like, Dana-Farber? I know the clinic itself, for you, I mean, just your family, You know, because we hear all the time, it's not just the child that's in there. They kind of accept the whole family and help the entire family. They see you pregnant, you know, with William here. What was that experience like? How helpful were they?
They were amazing. I was thinking about it on the way driving in, and I was thinking, how do I explain? And we have a page we put up for her, and I was telling everyone, you know, I don't know how we're going to explain how truly amazing they are when they take care of us all. It's not just Carly, you're right. It's every one of us. They recognize the girls. You know, Lisa was out there hugging them, and they were twirling their dresses and all that. And they just genuinely care for us. Things we don't even know we need until we need them, they're already preparing for them and giving them to us, you know. And it doesn't just stop at the medical care. They explain everything. They make us charts, and they remember the big things that are happening. And, you know, they'll put like a birthday cake emoji thing on the calendar for us because her birthday is or something. And just the whole crew. I mean, we have people there that are our family now.
All right, so let's bring Carly into it. Carly, you can talk now. We're going to put your microphone on and talk now, okay?
Exactly.
Can you hear us? All right. So I'm going to ask you the question. You brought in these beautiful bands that say on them, hashtag Team Carly, right? And what is that to do? Is that to let everybody know that they need to fight this awful disease, right? Is that what it's for?
Can you say yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's for. So you tell us, when you go in for the treatment over at the clinic, what is it like for you? She's shrugging her shoulders. Like,
Do you get to bring your sister and your brother William? Your two sisters and William? You guys don't go with her?
William comes in with
William.
Us.
There are lots of games and things to do there?
She plays music.
No.
Play music.
I've seen all that stuff in there.
I've seen a lot of stuff in there.
I go in there and we do arts and crafts with the kids. You've done arts and crafts in there, haven't you?
Do you sing? Do you dance?
Oh, yeah.
You sing? You want to sing a song for us? How about you sing?
What's your favorite song?
Yeah, Christian will do a duo with you. He's good at that.
He's a good singer. What's your favorite song?
You can sing. Can you guys? This seems like a future music group right here. You put William on the drums, and I think we have a perfect group.
What's your favorite song? Bo Be Mine.
I've never heard that.
Never heard of that one.
Go ahead.
How does Bo Be Mine go? Bo, 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 be fine.
No, that's a different song. That's old school.
That isn't it?
No, no.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Bo, be fine. Don't sparkle down and let it shine.
Yeah, all right.
I can sing.
You do? We need to get you a mic. We need to get... Oh. There you go. Put that mic right there. All right, ready to go.
Bo, be mine. Gotta sparkle down and let it shine. Bo, be mine.
Yeah, all right. Very good.
Very good. So how's she doing these days, Mom?
She's good. We're coming up on the very last treatment on the 27th. So a week from today, she'll get her last dose of chemo.
I want to play with
And then we'll just step back and see what happens.
Good.
So.
Big celebration at that time, huh, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We're going to have a little party.
Boy. Yeah, you should.
Big party.
We're going to invite Caitlin, Eliza, Sean, the whole crew
there
from the clinic.
There you go.
They were first on the list.
Listen, we're really happy for you and your family that it's all working out. You went to the right place.
We did.
There's no question about it. You went to the right place. And we wish you the best of luck, and we will wear these proudly.
Thank you.
Okay? Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Mine. Eat some chicken.
I knew this would happen.
He is a good singer. Later.
Oh, there it is. You hear it?
That's
Carly.
It?
Carly.
Go ahead.
Do you hear it?
So is it kind of like...
Took our DJ a while to find it.
Kind of like that shark song?
Oh, the shark. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Baby shark, shark, shark. Is that like kind of like baby shark?
Not as...
Sing it. Go ahead.
It's like a cool kid song.
Baby shark.
Oh, okay. I get it. I grew up on the Wiggles. My kids grew up on the Wiggles.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to meet somebody that actually works for the same company we work for. She is a DJ. And she was stricken with cancer. We will find her story coming up next, all part of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Hi, this is Mookie Betts. Every dollar goes to the cancer care and research at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. You can pitch in today with a $10 gift by texting KCANCER to 20222.
All right, back over here at Fenway Park. We continue on with the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon, all presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. So this next guest of ours does middays on Mix 104.1 FM. It's Aaron. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
It's my type of music.
That's right. You probably listened to it on the way in and enjoyed the rest of our station. Aaron O'Malley is with us. It's great to see you, Aaron.
Hi.
So this is kind of strange. I'm reading this. You're just doing the regular radio thing like we're doing, the family thing and whatever. And suddenly you get diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. That doesn't sound good when they throw the triple negative.
Yeah, that's actually the most rare kind of breast cancer. It's only about 15% of them. And the thing was, like, it was completely off my radar because I had just had a 3D mammogram, which is the most telling kind of mammogram, not even 6 months before. I never miss a mammogram. And so when I found a lump, I was like, my first thought was, well, this can't really be anything. I was in my closet talking to myself, as I do often, and I found a tank top, and I was like, you know, that would look so cute if these were just a little bigger. And I kind of poked myself, and I poked the tumor. And I was like, what is that? And it ended up, I got it checked out, and it ended up being triple negative breast cancer.
How rare is that? I mean, like you said, you just had a mammogram. I mean, you're keeping up, right, and all the tests. And is that something that's common? Like, it just comes on that quickly, a month or two, or 4 months after mammograms?
Yeah, they said that one especially can, it's the fastest growing, fastest spreading kind. So it can come out of nowhere and very quickly get bad.
Yeah.
So you were saying, you know, even during our break, just, you know, your show, you're solo on there. You don't have any two co-hosts trying to grab all the time and airtime from you. I can do whatever. It's all about positivity.
You want to go solo? You can go solo.
I would actually love to do it. Yes, I would. But you talk about just, you know, bringing that positivity to your show, and it seems like that's the attitude you had as far as attacking this triple negative breast cancer.
Yep, I did. I got on the air and told my listeners on a Friday that I was going to start chemo on Monday, and that was my big thing was, like, I'm going to find a way to find the positive in this. And I said off the cuff, like, maybe I'll wear my Wonder Woman outfit to chemo on Monday, because I had a shirt that had a cape on it, and I just kind of said it off the cuff, and then I thought, you know what, I'm wearing it. And so I did, and then when I walked into Dana-Farber, all these other people that were waiting for chemo, can I take a picture with you?
Wait, a Wonder Woman costume?
Yeah,
like a
well,
full,
it started off
like Halloween?
As
head to the top to bottom.
I had the whole tiara.
Lasso.
I didn't have all that. I added as
okay.
I went. But I had the Wonder Woman shirt that had a cape on it, and I borrowed my next door neighbor's daughter's like her Halloween, her tiara, and I wore that for my first appointment. And then all these women and men that were waiting for different kinds of chemo wanted to take pictures, and it made people smile. And I thought, you know what, this isn't just empowering me, this is helping other people around me smile. And so I was like, I'm wearing it every time. So I just started, I got the last, I yeah. wore it every single time. And then the last appointment I wore my like Mac Daddy straight from the movie one.
So people thought that was entertainment. You were actually getting chemo, right?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm sitting
oh, that entertaining
you.
Woman is in yeah. here again. Wonder
oh,
Woman.
Look, they hired her to yeah. cheer everybody up.
Exactly. Right.
You know?
How many rounds?
I had a total of 8 Oof. Over 16
What
weeks.
Was that like?
It was, you know what? I felt blessed every minute because people that I hadn't seen in a while flew in to take me to chemo. And I got to see my mom and my sister came in, and I got to spend extra time with my husband. And my friend Heather brought me so many times. And so it was, I felt love. I felt really lucky. And I also knew I was in the right place because I originally went to a different hospital close to my house, and I knew I would come to Dana-Farber if it was bad. I knew it, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to gather the information that I need from a local hospital. And when I was there, the first thing that the oncologist said was, you need a port immediately, you need 6 months of chemo, you need a lumpectomy. Like,
wow.
he's like, and we need to start this right now, like, I'd recommend putting the port in now. And then I was like, wow, this is pretty negative. And I even said at one point, like, what are my chances? And he said, 60 to 70% chance you'll still be here in 5 years. And I was like, whoa, that's like a C or a D in school.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable yeah. right here. So I gathered everything, and I went to Dana-Farber, and my oncologist, Dr. Bunnell, is the chief medical officer, and he's genius. And the first thing he said is, you don't need a port. I can see your veins from here. I'm not going to give you any more scars than you're already going to get. And you need 8 treatments over 16 weeks, not 6 months. And I'm sorry to tell you, but we saw the MRI, and you're not a candidate for a lumpectomy. You need a mastectomy. And I wanted that from the beginning anyway. And I was like,
don't worry, you're not breaking anything to me. Yeah. Like, let's start fresh. Get a whole new set on insurance. So that's
what makes you realize how lucky kind of we are, right? That we live around here. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that because you think about those two different diagnoses.
It was night and day, the attitude. And I'm like, I don't need to know my chances or whatever. I said, but how do you think about what's going to happen to me in the future? And he goes, let me just put it this way. Keep contributing to your retirement fund because you're going to need it.
Oh, good.
My husband, under his breath, said, what retirement fund?
So you obviously have a great attitude, and that's a big part of it. We've seen a lot of people who have had great success because they've got a great attitude, okay? Yep. Were there any periods where you're sitting there going, oh, my God, you know, why me? Why am I dealing with this? Why?
I really didn't have a why me. I did have a panic after I saw the first people at the local hospital. It was a moment of like, holy cow, this is, I mean, I knew so many people that beat breast cancer. And that was the first time that I really thought about maybe I won't be here for our son and my husband and my life. And I let myself go there. And then I thought, no, you know what? Dana-Farber is up the street. This is not, I'm gonna beat this. But I had that moment. And I think that when people, before they're on the path, before you get to Dana-Farber, before you're on that path, it's okay to freak out. It's normal to freak out. But I'm telling you, you walk in that door and miracles are happening all over the place. And I just immediately was calm. And then I met my oncologist. I was even more calm. Like, you know what? There will be purpose in this. And I felt more love. Like, I wish everybody in life could have felt the love that I felt at Dana-Farber and from family and friends and listeners, people I've never met. Like, I feel like most people only have that experience when they're maybe like looking down at their funeral. Or up, depending on what you've done in your life. But like that is the kind of love I felt. I just felt thankful and grateful. And I almost felt bad for the cancer because I was like, psh, I'm
nothing.
Beating you. Yeah. I have Dana-Farber on my side. Like, we're going to get this.
Unbelievable. Great story. We'll probably see you around the shop.
We'll come upstairs.
Would you
come upstairs and say hi? Yeah.
Trying to say something nice. The only time we come upstairs is to use the coffee machine because your coffee machine is better than ours. But you said we're all using the restrooms up there? Is that?
Yeah, we've got some private bathrooms up there. And I'm like, oh, locked. And then I hear somebody running back downstairs after. I'm like,
That's him.
No, there's a private bathroom downstairs that I've identified. I haven't told these guys where it is yet because I want to keep it to myself. And that's the way it's going to stay.
Good luck with that secret.
Still don't know where
it's out.
Yeah. We don't know. We've been there how long? And I still don't know where half the stuff is in that building.
You don't go exploring like that.
Apparently, I don't.
I will tell you, though, speaking of bathrooms, first time in my entire life that I was able to use the ladies' room at Fenway with no line.
Wow, how about that?
Special day.
Try the men's line.
Special day.
Aaron, it was great seeing you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's great.
You beat it.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
Look at this, boys. We're almost up to 600.
All right, we got
to
get over
600 grand. We're at 585-470.
They're changing it again.
585-470. Either that or somebody just walked in front of the.
They're just
walking in front of the live
show. Get another update.
They don't realize this is a live show.
Right.
Chris Berman is going to join us with his daughter, who has been fighting her own health issues. We'll get into all of that and more, but we need your help. We need you to get on that phone line right now, 877-738-1234, or text K-Cancer to 202-2-2. 202-2-2. We return with more from Fenway Park right here on the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, all presented from our friends at Arbella.
Please help WEEI and Ness and Strike Out Cancer. Call 877-738-1234 to make a gift. That's 877-738-1234. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.